Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Weekends were made for sports.
How would you like to play for the New England Patriots?
Oh, I'd love to.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers.
Everyone, meet freelance alien bounty hunter Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp? The football guy?
Yeah, I hunt aliens now. Used to catch TDs, now I catch ETs.
You ever caught an alien, Shannon?
Not yet, Mr. Question, but I'll let you know when I do.
This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
Oh, isn't this wonderful? Look at this room. What a beautiful room. Have you seen this room?
Yes, we're in it.
And Rashad Taylor.
Okay, dude, I can see you don't want to be cheered up here. Come on, Donnie, let's go get us a lane.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1080, The Fan.
10:08 here on your Sunday morning, hour 2 of 2 here for Sports Sunday. We're with you till 11 a.m. I've been talking a lot of Blazers draft thus far. You can catch it on the Les Schwab Tires podcast after the show if you missed any of it. We went long, which is literally never surprising for us.
Yeah, that's what she said. Sorry.
Does that work? We went long, which is never surprising for us? Well, maybe it works. Since we're so long and we only have 4 minutes left for this segment, let's do what Rashad just showed me in the break before we get to the rest of the draft, because I don't want to only spend 4 minutes on the draft. Rashad has found a website, which he's still looking at on his phone. That was the reaction of him looking. That they sell jerseys from movies, like movie sports characters. And that is an amazing idea, because I feel like jerseys aren't really cool anymore. Like, they used to be a thing where
they're making a comeback.
But generally, people don't like when people wear jerseys. But if you're wearing a movie character or a TV show character jersey, I think that instantly ups the cool rate of what you're wearing.
Absolutely.
Like, there's a Kenny Powers jersey from Eastbound and Down, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
If I saw someone wearing a Kenny Powers jersey, I'd be like, there you go.
I'm currently looking at a Willie Mays Hayes and a, Paul Crew with the Burt Reynolds from Longest Yard. Like, there's Zach Morris's Saved by the Bell Bayside Tigers jersey. So I'm thinking I'm going to invest in some of these. But the first investment will definitely be in Adam Banks from the Mighty Ducks. He is the reason I want to play hockey and all that stuff. So
did you actually play hockey?
I actually did. I played for like 3 years.
Were you good?
I got good, man. Like, but here's the cool part about hockey. It's super expensive.
Yes.
I lived in North Portland, and there weren't many places to practice. You know, Lloyd Center, like, once in my life, but outside of that, like, all the places were super far. And back in 1993-94, Clackamas Town Center may have been Middle Earth, you know, it was the other side of the world for the most part. So my grandparents and mom didn't like driving way over there. And then what happened is I had a growth spurt and grew right out of my pads, out of my skates. And it's not like hoop where you can just buy some new shorts and some shoes and you're in there. Like, you got to buy shoulder pads, you know, pads for your hands. You know, at that point, they made all the kids wear masks over their, you know, over their face to avoid getting hit by pucks and sticks. And so, yeah, it was really expensive. So I just kind of stopped playing, and then I really picked up football.
Well, I will ask this question to the text line, 55305. If you could pick a jersey from a movie or TV show character, which one would you purchase? And whatever website Rashad is on, you said it's on Lids?
Yeah, it's lids.com.
Like the hat company?
Yeah.
If you would buy anyone, what would you buy? And for me, and they had it on there, it's Willie Beeman from Any Given Sunday.
First one that came to my mind.
I love Any Given Sunday. And I loved Steaming Willie Beeman. He's kind of a jerk in the movie, but he's also kind of cool in the movie. But I just love that movie.
They also have,
and they're the Sharks, which
they
is
also
awesome.
Have Cap Rooney's jersey from Any Given Sunday, which was Dennis. Oh. Quaid, is it Dennis Quaid?
Was that Dennis Quaid?
Yeah, Dennis Quaid's character.
Yeah.
I like Steaming Beeman too. That was the first one that came to my mind. And then I was like, you know, it's kind of a silly movie, but I really like the Replacements, Keanu Reeves, Shane Falco.
That was actually on here as well. So
give me a Falco jersey.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's a Bobby Boucher Bourbon Bowl jersey.
Yeah, I saw that, the 44.
Yeah.
And I do like, just because I think it's one of the best names for a sports jersey, Moxon from Varsity Blues, Jonathan Moxon.
John Moxon. Yeah. Absolutely. I was a Lance Harbor fan myself, man. Or if I can get a Tweeter jersey.
Oh, there we go.
That would be dope, man. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get a Tweeter jersey. I might have to make one of those, though. But that would be super dope.
Oh, do they make them on that site, too?
I don't know.
You can kind of just, like, create it yourself?
They may, but if not, I'm just going to get the jersey myself and make that white and blue. That was a movie that we'd watch every, like, Thursday and Saturday night during high school.
Yeah.
Yes, Johnny Utah is also on here.
There's a lot on there. I was scrolling and I was like, oh my God, there's so many real life jerseys.
It's a Clark Griswold hockey jersey. Absolutely.
There's a Clark Griswold jersey?
That's because, you know, he wore the Chicago Blackhawks jersey, you know, at a point.
Which one was that? Was it just the first one? I don't remember which one. Here,
let's look.
Because I've watched all the Vacation movies. I actually owned all of them at one point. But
yeah, it says Chicago across the front and the back. Griswold 00. Looks kind of tight. I would definitely get one. But yeah, there's
it's from Christmas Vacation, I think.
So absolutely. I think this is going to be my summer thing. I think you're going to see me in a lot of kind of faux jerseys, you know, over the next few months. And that'll be cool. I'm going to get the Will Smith Bel-Air Academy jersey.
We got this one. Jackie Moon got texted in. Jackie Moon does have a jersey on the site. We did see it.
He does. He does, man. There's a Billy Bob jersey would be pretty cool from Varsity Blues, too.
Mm.
You know, that would be super tight. So, and I'm getting a Teen Wolf jersey. Teen Wolf might be the greatest fictional basketball player of all time. Just saying. He was doing backflips and dunking and stuff like that. Teen Wolf was taken off from the free throw line. And, yeah, he was a beast. Name me a better fictional basketball player than Teen Wolf. I don't think there was one.
Air Bud?
Calvin Cambridge from Like Mike? Yeah, okay.
The Monstars?
Yeah. The Monstars might be the greatest team ever assembled.
The
Monstars are the Golden State Warriors right now.
That is a truly fictional.
Until Michael Jordan comes and plays with LeBron.
And learns that he can stretch his arm.
Yeah. So, yes, but we're getting a lot of text here. Al Bundy's number 44. Yes, there's actually even a Polk High Al Bundy jacket, a satin jacket that looks super awesome.
Rick Vaughn for Major League. There's multiple Major League jerseys.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. So all these guys are here. Everybody join the movement. Let's start wearing faux jerseys and just make all these people, you know, really upset. I think it's okay to wear a jersey of a fictional character. I think it's weird.
It's a lot more acceptable.
I think it's weird if you're walking around as a 35-year-old man in a Damian Lillard jersey.
Agreed.
Unless you're going to the game, I think it's weird.
Yeah, that's true. But you can just wear a shirt because you support the team.
What about retired players?
No. See, I think everyone's first reaction when they see someone in a jersey is like, oh, really? And then, but if you see it's like Rick Vaughn and you're like, oh, Ricky Vaughn. Yes. I love that movie.
So
I
couldn't wear like a Drexler jersey.
I mean, you could. You could wear whatever you want
and look cool.
You just might be judged.
I think. I'm kind of coming around on like older players or anything like that. Just because when I was a kid, I actually did idolize some of those guys, so it would make sense. But like now, it seems weird to wear like a Steph jersey because he's like 7 years younger than me. So it seems weird.
That is a little bit weird.
You know what I mean? So that seems just a little strange.
All right. Let's break. Let's come back with the rest of the NBA draft outside of the Blazers next here on Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Wait, did the liner play already? Yeah, I think the liner played. Sorry, we're laughing.
Whoops.
Someone texted in. This was Deal. P1 Deal. Oh, no. P1 Jeffrey. Words. For people that aren't real players in fake jerseys, how about just getting a Myers Leonard jersey? poor Myers.
poor Myers. Like, I mean, it's such high hopes for him. I was really excited, you know, when he got taken. Maybe Illinois guys just aren't that good.
No, yeah, maybe.
You know, remember, what was the guy? He got drafted by the Lakers years ago. Brian Cook. Brian Cook was really good at Illinois.
Brian Cook?
Yeah. He was really good at Illinois, and he was trash in the NBA.
All right, let's get to the rest of the draft outside of the Blazers. For me, the team that won the first round was the Suns. I think taking Ayton number one was kind of an obvious pick, right? But to me, trading up from 16 to get Mikal Bridges from Villanova, who got taken to 10 by the Sixers, was a great move. Was an absolutely great move. Because now the Suns have this. They've got Devin Booker. They've got Josh Jackson, who they drafted first round, top five from Kansas. Mm-hmm. And they've got Ayton, and they've got Bridges. And to me, for a team that's been so bad, that was tanking intentionally to get really good players for a couple of years, there you go. There's your core right there. You've got a 40-point scorer on your team, and in Devin Booker. You've got a potential top-tier forward center in DeAndre Ayton. You've got a guy who played on a national championship team in Mikal Bridges. And you got Josh Jackson, who, I mean, I don't think he had a great year last year, but has a lot of potential. To me, that's what the tanking side of the NBA is all about, is getting players like this. And I think the Suns destroyed the draft on Thursday. I thought it was great.
You took the words out of my mouth, man. I totally agree. I think if there's any team that really made those splashes that every other franchise was talking about making, maybe outside of the Golden State Warriors, it was the Phoenix Suns, man. You knew that they were going to go with Ayton at number one. I think that was kind of
that was expected.
That I don't really think there was any real drama there, and he's really lucky that Porter Jr. did have the injuries that he had, because it would have been between he and Marvin Bagley going number one and number two. But man, I don't really know if there is a team had a better night than these guys, man. Like, I mean, I think Atlanta came out pretty strong, you know, being able to get the Spellman get at 30. And then I don't really know much about Kevin Herter, but I do know about Trae Young, and they project that he's going to be the best scorer in the draft, or in this draft class. So
people compare him to Steph Curry.
Yeah, I don't know if I, you know, agree with that, but I think as a freshman, he had a much better year than Steph had. He was kind of asked to do a little bit more than Steph was asked to do, and he played in a harder conference. So would it shock me if he came out there and put up Steph Curry numbers eventually? Not really, but it was just kind of one of those things. But I guess the other team that I thought did came out well, man, Denver. Obviously getting Michael Porter Jr. at 14, getting Jared Vanderbilt, Justin Jackson. You were in the second round. Like, you were able to really do some things in this draft. And you went to any team that picks up a guy at the caliber of Michael Porter Jr. that's already kind of in playoff contention, man, I think that's a slam dunk. I think they had a really good draft.
I think a lot of what I look for in drafts, though, is the history of the team as well. Like, who they have drafted in the past and who has been a good pick. Because to me, like, I like Marvin Bagley a lot, but because the Kings picked him, I'm like, ooh, he's not going to be that good, is he?
No, he's not.
Because it's the Kings, right? But then the Mavericks trade up two picks to get Doncic from Spain, the Real Madrid guy. And people were kind of like, oh, we don't know how good he's going to be. But from what I've seen from some of the top experts, is they think he's going to be amazing, like a really good player. So the Mavericks trading up to get him. They just took Dennis Smith Jr., who was awesome last year, and have a history of have been making pretty good draft picks. I'm like, I like that pick. I like that. So here's the thing is, I love college basketball, but it's really tough to judge a lot of these freshman players, and almost every player picked in the top 15 was a freshman, because you just don't see that much tape from them. You don't watch them that much. They change so much after their freshman year. It's really hard to judge. So I judge based on the team. So because I love Marvin Bagley, but he went to the Kings and I'm like, eh.
So I'm looking right now at the draft grades, and I'm not sure exactly what site this is. I want to say it's Bleacher Report, but I can't be sure.
Can you look up at the address bar and tell me what the site is?
For whatever reason, I think my computer just stuck. Oh, no, there it goes. There are two teams that were perceived to have the worst draft days. Do you know who those two teams were?
perceived to have the worst.
Well, Portland had like a C-, I think, one of the grades I saw. So yeah, definitely Portland.
Good C.
I saw the C as well.
Who? No, I don't know who.
There are two teams, one of which was the Washington Wizards.
Okay.
They got a D.
They took Troy Brown from Oregon at 15, which was very high for what a lot of people
incredibly
thought.
Incredibly high for Troy Brown.
They thought Brown
proud
was going to go 20s.
Happy for Troy Brown being picked up, you know, right after the lottery. But the other team was the Portland Trailblazers.
Really?
So of all the teams, and mind you, every draft grade, you know, every site that I've seen has Portland right around a C- or a D as far as their draft grades. And this is from, I think this may be, yeah, this is indeed from Bleacher Report. That's not good.
Nope.
You know, and I know we want to be really, you know, kind of glass half full about what's going to happen here, but yeah, I don't see that coming. Like, I mean, and maybe, you know, Simons can make us all eat crow, like you said earlier, and, you know, then we'll be praising him in the next year and a half. But for right now, I think the rest of the league sees exactly what Portland saw, was like, man, what the hell?
And here's the thing about the draft in general, and this is just kind of a feeling I have, and I know it's never going to be the same again unless they change the rules, but I really, really, really hate raw freshmen who have all this potential. Generally, I really hate it because it's like you're just drafting a guy for 5 years from now, 4 years from now, and I'm not just talking about the Blazers. I'm talking about a ton of the top 10 picks. Right. This goes every single year. If I look back at some of the previous drafts, you can point to a couple of guys who are like, oh, look at all his talent. But so far, haven't done anything yet in the NBA because they just aren't ready. How about Malik Monk? Right.
Mm-hmm.
He was at Kentucky. He was a freshman. He was really highly regarded. He had an awful, awful rookie season. And people were saying it was one of the worst rookie seasons from a lottery pick in a long time. That kind of stuff right there. But you go out and you get a guy like Bridges, for example, from Villanova, or the one from Michigan State. I think both of them were sophomores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even just a little bit more experience. So you get a guy who had NCAA tournament experience for a couple of years. I think those are higher impact players immediately.
I blame the GMs. I blame the GMs and coaches because for whatever reason, San Antonio lucks out and gets a good guy every year at the end of the draft. For whatever reason, the Warriors just keep picking up on guys that just fit their system and what they're able to do every single year.
San Antonio took a freshman this year too.
Yeah, but you don't have to pick the raw freshman. Like you don't. Like you pick these guys that are going to be projects, quote unquote, and then they never pan out. And you've wasted a draft pick and you've wasted time when you could have picked that, you know, sophomore or junior that, well, because he didn't leave as a freshman, he's perceived as not as good or can't play in the NBA today. That's why it's messed up, because if you come out as a sophomore, as a junior, I think there was one senior taken in the top 10. If you are a senior, you're perceived as not good enough to play in the NBA.
I don't think there was a senior in the top 10 at all. I think it was freshman, European big, freshman, sophomore.
There was a senior that went somewhere. There was where was it?
And he's probably going to be good.
At least
he's probably going to be one of the most impactful.
DiVincenzo's what, a sophomore
or junior?
Junior or something like that?
I can't remember. I don't know who the senior was, but I'm pretty sure the top like 13 picks were all freshmen. So we're getting to this point now where you're getting so many raw potential filled players that in the long run, I think it's going to wind up hurting the NBA's skill set. Like, you're going to get so many guys who aren't ready yet. And this is why I seriously want them to go three and out, three and done, like college football. That's what I want. Because you make the NBA better and you make college basketball better. You just make both products better, right? You either leave out of high school, because I know that there are certainly players who are that talented that young. We've seen it in the past. Or you go for 3 years of college. To me, I feel like that should be the rule. Because it makes for a better product on both floors in college and in the NBA. And when you get all these freshmen over and over and over again, sure, you're going to get some great players, of course. But a lot of the time, you're going to get a lot of crappy players too. I hate it. I hate the trend.
They should just do what they, like you said, do what they do in college. You know, three years
in football.
2 years out of college or, you know, straight out of high school. That should just be how it works.
All right, we got a break. Coming up next, it is time for Hate It or Love It. But first, Jesse has SportsCenter.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
It is last half hour of our show today. That music right there.
It's always sad.
Means it is hate it or love it time. It's not sad because it means we get to do hate it or love it, Rashad.
I mean, yeah. But
last
I mean,
half full, baby.
I mean, it's coming to the end, though. You know?
It's all good. It's been a good show so far.
We've had fun.
So I believe Rashad won last week again. So that means that I get to answer my question first.
That was the first time that I won in a minute, so.
It's not true. You've been winning way more than me recently.
I don't know, man.
So I get to go first. For those who have not listened before, Jesse asks us questions and then awards us points or deducts us points based on our answers. And then at the end, the winner gets to get their music played going into the last segment and host the last segment. So, Jesse, what is our first question?
Good question. You know, it's so busy in sports. There's so many things to choose from.
So we're going to do all World Cup? Cool, thanks.
Yeah. so many World Cup questions. Sorry, Rashad. I'm joking. There's not a single World Cup question.
You couldn't have given me one.
No. We have, let's see here, football.
Oh, of course.
And I did throw in an NBA one in there as well. So let's start off with the Dallas Cowboys. They offensive line still looking good. They re-signed Zach Martin, $40 million guaranteed. They Ezekiel Elliott,
as I would say.
Right. So far, so good on the season. No suspension. So they're planning on having a full backfield. So they got, you know, a couple parts of their offense rolling, but they are lacking in Elliott. So they are lacking at one position though on the offensive side, and that is the receiving corps.
Okay. Des Bryant's gone, don't forget.
Hey, at least they have a starting quarterback. Now I don't necessarily think that Dak Prescott's a top 10 quarterback, but he is a starting quarterback. You don't run off a starting quarterback in this league. So with that said, you are missing some pieces. At least you don't have a true number one at all there in Dallas. Love or hate, because of their lack of depth, especially at the top, Dallas will struggle to move the ball without that number one receiver.
Ooh. I'll say hate because they will run the ball well. You are right. They have an elite offensive line. They still do. They re-signed Zach Martin to, I think it was one of the most expensive contracts ever for a guard given in the NFL. Ezekiel Elliott will not be suspended or will likely stay healthy, hopefully. And I think he is an elite running back. And I do think Dak Prescott is good enough to move the ball with the receivers that he has. Now, the good thing about the current situation with the wide receiver core of the Cowboys is that Dak Prescott likes to throw the ball underneath. And the Cowboys have a lot of guys who run short routes and underneath routes. Cole Beasley was really good at this. They also got Tavon Austin from the Rams, which I didn't even know. I just saw that on the depth chart. And don't forget, they got Allen Hurns right now, who used to be very, very good with the Jaguars, has had some injury issues, but he is also a good underneath, but also a deep threat wide receiver. So they don't have a true number one, but they have a good combination of a bunch of twos, I would say, or twos and threes. And I think that's good enough to move the ball. And I'm not saying they're going to have a great passing game, but because of Elliott in the offensive line, as well as the good enough receivers, they'll be able to move the ball just fine.
I'm gonna hate it. You're gonna see exactly how good a player like Dez Bryant is. You know, this isn't one of those addition by subtraction type things.
So love.
This is subtraction by subtraction.
Okay, all right.
For Dez Bryant, like you don't lose a player like him, and you hope to get better. Allen Hurns, like you said, used to be a good receiver. Has he ever been as good or better than Dez Bryant? Absolutely not. So if you think he's the person that's going to come in and change your fortunes on the offensive side, you're silly. The one thing that actually has helped, I guess will help the already really good Dallas Cowboys line is the fact they got Joe Thomas to come in there and play some, the linebacker Joe Thomas, excuse me. They got him to come in there and hopefully take some some pressure off of the defense and everything, but I don't know how they're going to be able to move the ball, especially in the division that they're in. They just keep kind of getting better. You look around at the rest of the NFC East, and they've gotten much better for the most part. We think that the Giants are going to be better than they actually were. You think Washington could take a step forward with having Alex Smith, who's a guy who continues to go to the playoffs every single year on their squad. And then, of course, oh, yeah, the Super Bowl champions, the Philadelphia Eagles, who just keep adding more and more pieces to their roster. So I don't know if they're going to be able to move the ball the way they used to. You said there's a lot of dink and dunk guys, exactly what Prescott likes to do. So I don't know. We'll see, but I doubt that they do anything close to what they've been doing the past couple of years.
All right.
I'm not sure if you loved or hated that.
I think it's supposed to be love.
Love,
they won't be able to move the ball. What was kind of confusing.
There
was one point that I gave you that I didn't work because I was kind of confused on the stance in the beginning. It was about. So you currently 6-4, Mike in front. But
2-point favorite. That's nice.
Yeah, just so you know. Moving on, Buffalo and their wonderful quarterback position. You know, they made the playoffs for the first time in 19 years with Tyrod Taylor. What'd they do? They ran him out of town, sent him to Cleveland, who supposedly has the top quarterback room that Todd Haley's ever worked with. And just so you know, Todd Haley's worked with future Hall of Famer Ben Roethlisberger. Just so you know. So Tyrod Taylor, value. Anyways, back to Buffalo. You got Nathan Peterman. You got Josh Allen. You got A.J. McCarron. Now, it comes out that Nathan Peterman has a legit chance to get the starting job in Buffalo. Love or hate, Nathan Peterman is going to beat out A.J. McCarron for that starting job.
My God. The fact that that is even a true statement that you said that is in a report somewhere shows you how lost the Buffalo Bills are at how to run a football organization in the NFL. Nathan Peterman got brought in last year over Tyrod Taylor and threw 5 interceptions in a half of football. And they ruined their season because of it, because Tyrod Taylor is actually a good quarterback. They also ruined their relationship with Tyrod Taylor with it, and he went on to go to the Browns. He's actually a good quarterback, and you went with Nathan Peterman, who is crap. You drafted the worst quarterback in the draft out of the big guys in Josh Allen, and then you lost in the free agency market by getting probably the worst free agent quarterback option in A.J. McCarron. Oh, my God, the Bills suck. But no, I hate it because he will not beat A.J. McCarron out because Nathan Peterman sucks. And at least A.J. McCarron has played decently well when he has replaced Andy Dalton when he was hurt in Cincinnati. And at some point, Josh Allen didn't get a go because he was a top 10 pick. Oh, my God. I cannot believe that is a true statement. That's it. So I hate it. I'm sorry, but that's crazy.
Nicely done. Yeah, you know, I mean, I wasn't exactly sure what your position was there in the beginning. I mean, obviously, I knew that the Buffalo Bills sucked as your position.
I had to give that in there.
It tied in really well. It tied in really well.
So I'm hating that Buffalo is
Peterman is going to start.
Man, I love it. It's unfortunate, but I absolutely love it. From everything I've seen out of Buffalo Bills camp, he and Peterman and McCarron have been trading reps back and forth with the first team, and Peterman will win the or will lead his team to score in the 2-minute drill, and then the next day McCarron will do it, and then back to Peterman. But because Peterman's been there, because he at least understands the playbook that they have, or what the presumed playbook that they have in Buffalo is going to be, I think he's going to beat him out. I think we can all say that Josh Allen is third string. From everything I've read, Josh Allen isn't ready. Even Shady McCoy came out at a point and was like, well, he's got potential. He's got it there. He just needs to calm down and do this, that, and the third. So we can all say that Josh Allen's going to be on the bench. But I think at this point, this is Peterman's job to lose. A.J. McCarron has had some injury issues or, you know, question marks to him and everything. And I think in football, it's a little more serious than it is in hoops. So at this point, I think the Bills are in one of those, man, we have nothing to lose type of situations. They have a good defense. They have always kind of had a solid defense. Now just see if they can find the trigger man to go with that solid defense.
They also don't really have any good wide receivers.
They really don't.
No, they
had Calvin Benjamin, but
often injured Calvin Benjamin.
Yeah, right now their depth chart is Zay Jones and Calvin Benjamin. Their backups are Brandon Riley and Andre Holmes, and then they have Jeremy Curley as well.
You tell me you couldn't afford to spend the $8 million and keep Sammy Watkins around? Like, I mean, yeah.
He's not that good.
No, I'd rather have him than Calvin Benjamin.
Well, neither of them are that good. Both of them are always injured. It wasn't. It probably
no. That's welcome to Buffalo.
Right. Exactly.
And like I said, you deserve it, Buffalo. Congratulations. we'll move on to the NBA.
Okay.
And, I know we kind of have talked a lot about the NBA today, but we'll go back there. There was a draft, and we haven't really talked about the guy who might have the highest ceiling, but also could very well be the biggest bust in the draft, in Mo Bamba.
Mm.
I don't know if you do you guys see that guy walk out?
Oh, he's huge.
He's huge.
A monster.
Brooklyn's what? He's ridiculous, but the problem is the guy doesn't have an offensive game. We've seen this before. Supreme defensive talent, lack of offensive game. Love or hate, Mo Bamba is going to be the biggest bust in the draft.
I'm going to say hate. I think, again, the way I discussed it last segment, there's so many iffy prospects that are all true freshmen. I think there are going to be plenty of busts from this draft, and I think Mo Bamba's athleticism is going to lead to him being an effective player, at least defensively and in rebounding, even if he is not the best offensive player. Now, so I don't think he'll be the biggest bust because of that. He is a freak athletically. But here is where I do think I'll lean towards more bust than boom for him, is he got drafted by the Magic. And that's a team that I don't trust their draft picks. I talked about it last segment. There are certain teams, I see who they drafted, and I go, probably not going to do too well. You know, they also drafted a guy named Aaron Gordon, who was a elite defensive and athletic player with an iffy offensive game. And Aaron Gordon has kind of turned into a iffy player, or at least a slightly average player that was a really high draft pick. I think Mo Bamba can fall into that same category. They're going to be really athletic, the Magic, but they're not going to be able to score that much. So he will not be the biggest bust, but I do think that because he got drafted by the Magic, he will not be the best player either.
I don't think he'll be a bust at all. I think he can fit into exactly what this new NBA is. Here's a guy that at 7 feet tall made about 14 threes, this season. So he's comfortable with at least pulling up and taking that shot. He's a rim protector that can run the floor. You look at guys like DeAndre Jordan, you look at guys like Hassan Whiteside that are able to go out there and really make an impact on the game without really being able to score the ball. Here's a guy that can block every shot. He has a 7'8" wingspan. So you put him on the pick and roll, much like a guy like Clint Capella, who, again, is not a scorer, who doesn't have an offensive skill set, is not going to be able to put the ball on the floor with his back to the basket and make something happen. He's somebody that is, you know, all his points are predicated on having a great guard. And as long as Mo Bamba has a great guard in Orlando, I think he will be absolutely fine. He's somebody that can really change the way you drive to the basket. So I'm looking at some of the other guys in this draft, one of which being Simons. For that reason alone, I can't say that Mo Bamba, who went to Texas and was the 6th overall pick, is going to be a bust over that kid. Sorry.
And the winner is... It was close. Closer than we originally would have thought. Mike.
Yay.
For Mike.
Forget I felt Mike. Good about my answers today, man. I lose a couple of times in a row... I know.
I'm some runs.
I'm annoyed. We lose a couple of times in a row, and I'm like, I gotta bring it this way. I gotta win. I gotta stop this losing streak. And yeah. Jesse went right into my hands on that one because the Bills, oh my God. I want the Bills to be good. Someone texted, Mike must be a Bills fan. No, but I have many friends from college who are Bills fans, and I lived the Bills suffering for 4 straight years with them, and I continue to do so occasionally through text as well. So I want them to be good for their sake, but they are just so, so bad. All right, last segment. Not sure yet. We'll figure it out. This is Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Well, since it is my segment, I, of course, am going to give some love to the World Cup.
All right.
In all seriousness, and I think we talked a little bit about the World Cup last week. I can't remember. But even if you are not a soccer fan, I still think you should give the World Cup a shot because the games have been very intense. Both teams care so much about winning that you're getting a lot of kind of good, exciting play every single game. There really hasn't been a bad game yet. I've watched a bunch of them. I'd say I've watched every single one except for the early morning ones, because I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. to watch the games. But there really hasn't been bad. Even some of the blowouts, the winning team is playing beautiful soccer. Like today, England beat Panama 6-1. But from what I saw in the highlights, it was still a great game to watch because England was always attacking. They always had offensive chances. And we've had some 1-0s that were incredibly contested with lots of chances and that were really good. So if you haven't watched it yet, now is a perfect time to start. The third match day is going to start soon. A lot of these games are going to mean a lot for these teams. You're either going to be out or you're going to be moving on to the knockout rounds. Give it a try. It's on in the morning. There's nothing else going on. 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 11 a.m., whenever the games are starting. What else are you going to be watching if you're watching TV at that time? Throw the game on. Why not, right?
I mean, it depends on what else is on. If The Office is on Comedy Central, then
oh, come on.
I may be watching reruns of The Office.
That you've seen four times.
I mean, maybe a couple of times, but they're still funny. You know, so it's all good. But no, honestly, I haven't watched much of it. I'll put it on when I'm like cleaning or doing something at home, just because I'll have some sports on in the background. But for the most part, I haven't really paid attention to anything, and it has nothing to do with the U.S. not competing. The U.S. isn't good enough, and we know that. So I'm not really tripping on that part. But I don't know. I appreciate you showing me the chick from Peru. You know, that's kind of tight.
Yeah, there is a Peru fan who apparently takes her bra off every single time they score a goal in international competition. The only problem is I'm pretty sure Peru hasn't scored yet in the World Cup. So if you look up pictures, there's like pictures of her. So just look up Peru topless fan. You'll find it.
She's pretty impressive.
She's pretty impressive.
She's pretty impressive.
She's got a lot of talent.
Much talent. Such a big heart.
And really big heart.
Yeah.
Really two big hearts, actually, which is weird. Yeah. It's a weird disease that she has. Two big hearts that she writes on.
Yes.
Which is also weird. But, you know, either way. Go ahead and look up those pictures if you'd like. Also, if you don't want to watch the soccer, watch for the Iceland women in the fans. They're beautiful. Oh, my God. I was watching the Iceland game. It was like they kept cutting to the fans, and every time they showed someone different, I was like, they're so attractive.
No, yeah.
It's that Iceland, the Nordic blood, I guess.
Yes, Iceland has beautiful women. I had a friend that played basketball over there, and that's what he was telling me. He said that's where the most gorgeous women in the world are. I said, really? Iceland were? But, I mean, that's been confirmed, especially if you've watched any World Cup. So, they're pretty hot in Iceland. Might need to take a guy's trip to Iceland.
Iceland's
just
one of
to look.
Most touristy places right now. They're kind of hating it, I think.
I've never really heard
anyone. There's only 300,000 people who live there.
I've never heard anyone say, oh, hey, man, where are you going on vacation? Oh, I'm going to Iceland.
Really?
No, I've never heard anyone.
A lot of people recently have gone to Iceland that I know.
I think we got different friends. Yeah. all the people I know are like, oh, I'm going to Mexico or I'm going to Vegas. Like, I haven't met the person that goes to Iceland.
I want to go hit up them soaking pools, man. They look amazing.
They look great, right?
Yeah.
The what now?
The soaking pools in Iceland. They're supposed to be.
They're like hot springs almost.
Yeah, they're like giant hot springs. Giant hot springs. Except I don't think they're quite as hot.
Doesn't sound sanitary.
No, it's supposed to be amazing.
I get it. Cocaine's supposed to be amazing too. I don't want to try that. I'm good. Just saying.
And with that, we have to bid you adieu. Cocaine sounds amazing.
It's a hell of a drug.
Just don't do it. All right, coming up next week, maybe we'll have some NBA free agency to get to. Who knows what else is going to be happening? We'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. We'll have some fun. That'll be next week, 9 to 11. If you missed any of the show today, it's on the Les Schwab Tires podcast on 1080thefan.com or on the new app, radio.com app, when you can find 1080 The Fan there. And, yeah, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Have a good Sunday.
Omaha!
This one's for Pat!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.